Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't see Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Congratulations to Sharon in North Richland Hills. She was the winner of our Brooks and Dunn ticket giveaway. We'll be doing that tomorrow and Friday in the noon o'clock hour. Also, today, the G-Bag Nation is live at the Texas Rangers Toy Drive Globe Life Field. That'll be open from 4 to 7. Bring a toy that's worth at least $15. Settle down for kids. And get a ticket to a select 2025 Rangers game. You guys are bad people for that. This is a toy drive for children, you perverts.
Special guest at 5:30 on the G-Bag Nation.
Mike Bassick? Really feels like you should be there in the...
I think they have Nate Lohoffit on with them today, too. So
6:30, special guest on the G-Bag Nation, Jared Sandler.
Oh, nice. Okay. This should be interesting.
Special guest... Nate Lowe at some point.
Wow.
I'll be signing autographs from 4 to 5, so be sure to stop by and ask me who else is signing at that time.
I am famous.
He is. Okay. He definitely is.
They'll be like, yeah, they put me in your line.
Now.
Didn't get the Nate Lowe one.
It's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I really appreciate that. We begin, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and begin with Dirk Nowitzki.
Okay.
This is not necessarily a basketball conversation, but I always do love to relive the stories from the 2011 run because, I mean, A, it's all we have. But B, that was a fun team. Like, that was an absolute blast that you didn't believe in whenever I said that they would sweep the Lakers.
That's true. I 100% did not believe that would happen.
One of the guys that kind of goes forgotten on that squad, though, is Brendan Haywood. He had a hip pointer injury and just wasn't able to do everything he wanted to do, but he was still a big body in that mix. And he was also one of those guys, him along with Caron Butler, that got traded here from Washington. And they were like, oh my God, we're in the playoffs? This is great. Which basically PJ told us the other day was like, it was a blur. And then we got there and it's just awesome. But here is Brendan Haywood on the Run Your Race podcast hosted by Theo Pinson.
Buddy.
Talking about Dirk Nowitzki's quiet confidence.
Dirk had quiet confidence. He would say it to us. He just didn't feel like he needed to say it to the world. He would say certain little things. I'd be like, oh, I didn't know he was like that. Some guys like got to get out there and they got to beat their chest and tell you, yeah, KG had to announce. And that's no disrespect. Dirk didn't feel that way, but he would say something behind the scenes that was different. Like, he'd just be like, we taking on the big three. He's like, yeah, they ain't no real big three. If they really wanted to create a big three, they would have came and got me.
Wow. And I like it.
The Dirk we know, like, part of us knows that, like, Dirk is too humble to say that.
Sure.
There's also the other part of us that knows that Dirk also absolutely would say something like that. The story that Brendan Haywood told about how they showed him the coughing situation and Dirk just put the iPad down and said, I'll take care of this.
Yeah.
These are my favorite stories from it. But there's always this debate about the Mavs' run to that title. And people keep throwing out how they really didn't beat anybody along the way.
What?
And who says that?
That'd be maybe the toughest.
Sean?
The toughest run in the history of the NBA playoffs.
Here is Brendan Haywood on the Run Your Race podcast having that discussion.
There's a debate on the greatest NBA finals run.
Oh, it's not a debate.
Not a debate.
When you look at who Dirk had to beat, the only thing maybe close is maybe Hakeem Olajuwon's. They had a run. But when you when you look at who Dirk had to beat, obviously Portland first round, that's Brandon Roy.
Different. LA.
Yeah, Brandon Roy. You know what I'm saying? So Brandon Roy was a problem.
Brandon, what was the problem for
he
his
was
knees?
Different. Issue. Yeah, he was yeah. different.
Issue.
That's Brandon Roy and LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Then you got to realize the next series, it's Kobe and Powell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Coming off a championship. Mm-hmm. Swept them. Then the next series, it's KD, Russ, and Harden.
Oh.
Gentlemen yes. sweep. Then the next series, Bosh, Wade, Bron. Like yeah. how many Hall of Famers did he knock off on that run? Your favorite Hall of Famers from that time period got clapped on that run.
I love that line. Your favorite Fact. Hall of Famers got destroyed. As Dirk Nowitzki was saying, I'm the best on the planet right now and you can't stop me.
Yeah, look, if you don't think it's the toughest run to a title ever, we can have that discussion. But if anybody says, oh, who did he beat? I'm like, a lot of people, all yeah. the contemporary best players that you think of.
And people would like continually go at the Lakers and say, oh, they were on their way down after that. It's because the Mavericks put them on their way down. Like they forced it. The Oklahoma City Thunder. They were too young. They didn't know yet. Like all that talent was there.
Yeah. Why did they never get there? Well, this was part of the reason they never got there.
They got there the next year, right?
Well, I mean, they never won.
But they lost.
But yeah. Just to show how good you played the defending champs who were the 2 seed, yep. LA. Then you played, I think Oklahoma City was the 4 seed that year because the Spurs were the 1 seed and lost.
And then they would make the finals next year.
Right.
So would the Heat. You right. beat them as well.
Yeah. So.
Pretty incredible.
Oh, you weren't better than OKC if Westbrook gives the ball to Durant instead of whatever he was trying to do.
Guess what? Westbrook stinks the last 5 minutes of every game yeah. of his life almost. That was the reason Oklahoma City struggled to get over the top is because he doesn't understand the difference between the first 5 minutes and last 5 minutes of any game he's ever played in.
Yeah, and I also disagree with that because at that moment, Dirk was better than KD. Don't at me. Dirk was better than Kobe. Dirk was better than Wade and LeBron and definitely Chris Bosh.
Nobody could stop him.
On that run, he was the best player on planet Earth, and I will hear nothing different.
And everybody on
data.
Yes, and everybody on that team, everybody on that team that won that championship, while they did their part, they all look at it and go, yeah, but we had the big German.
Yeah.
We had that guy.
And so he wasn't going to lose.
We were very confident in what we were going to be able to do because we knew we had him. How long would you wait for season tickets? I saw this from Darren Rovell, Kevin. I guess at J Preams is his name. Got a note from the Patriots. It says, hello, we're reaching out to provide a status update regarding your placement on the season ticket wait list.
Oh, that's nice.
Over the past 2+ decades, we've seen incredible renewal rates from our existing season ticket members. While we're currently unable to confirm when you will be provided the opportunity to secure season tickets, please note that you're approaching the top of the wait list.
You're not even there yet.
Those who joined the Patriots season ticket wait list in February, March, and April of 2004 were provided the opportunity to secure their season tickets in advance of 2024. Our records indicate that you joined the list in March of 2005, and therefore he should be able to get his season tickets for 2025. How long would you wait for season tickets?
And you know,
would you wait 20 years?
And see, your answer has wildly changed the dynamic of when you got on that list. Hey, we're going to be winning Super Bowls. Maybe Tom Brady will turn out to something. To, holy crap, Tom Brady might be the best player I've ever seen. To, oh my gosh, we've won even more Super Bowls. To, this is what you got now. And now is when you get on the list. That is tough.
I've made a lot of bad investments in cards in my life. Trevor Lawrence being one of many. Funky Cole Luis Medina back in 1990 because his name was cool because I thought he was a Tone Loc dude. But when I traded a Mac Jones rookie card numbered to 10 for a really special Patrick Mahomes rookie card, and I knew I was getting the bad part of the deal at the time, I really like that I don't have that Mac Jones rookie
yeah.
card anymore. I have the Patrick Mahomes one.
Oh, absolutely. I've never had season tickets. It's never been
yeah.
something that
because that's what they were hoping. Like Mac Jones is gonna do it.
He's gonna.
You're like, you know, why'd you tell a Mac Jones story? He's Jacksonville.
Now Drake May is on top of the world from UNC.
Hey, and now Bill Belichick's gonna show that UNC's the place to be.
Yeah.
So are you gonna retroactively reconsider your opinion on Drake May, even though he wasn't?
No,
there
he was
for that?
Still there.
Okay.
When whatever, Roy Williams, or I don't even know who their coach
Mac
is.
Mac Brown.
Hubert Davis, right? No, they're a basketball school.
Oh, okay.
Isn't Hubert Davis their head coach?
Is he still there?
Is that right? What was their coach who was so famous that lost all those championships?
Larry Brown.
The guy before him. Larry Carter? Williams.
Dean Smith.
He did win multiple championships, though. I don't know if I would say Dean Smith was favored for
He's considered better than Coach K.
3 years of Michael Jordan. He won his freshman year. Yeah, what did he do with J.R. Reed?
How is that a mic drop moment?
Yeah, how about having Rasheed Wallace?
How many did he win with Sheed? Vince Carter.
He didn't even make the championship game with Rasheed.
What are we doing right now?
Oh, the Rangers.
Oh, wait, you like Duke. I forgot.
The Rangers did not select a player with the Rule 5 draft, by the way. That news is just now getting out there in the world.
What are we doing?
I don't even.
The 40-man's full. We have plenty of players.
They're not trying to take on Russell Wilson again this year, it sounds like.
We 40-man him on the minor league side, not the major league side.
Mm-hmm, that is true. Also,
do you know that we 40-manned Ricky Williams when he was at University of Texas?
I do remember that.
And do you know why?
Why? Nope.
So Tom Hicks could pay him under the table. Because you didn't have NIL and you couldn't pay players.
Oh.
But to keep him, why did Ricky Williams stay his senior year at University of Texas? Well, Ricky Williams was drafted out of high school by the Philadelphia Phillies, and he wasn't really playing minor league baseball because of how great he was doing at University of Texas. But Tom Hicks is a big UT guy, and he wants him to stay at UT for his senior year. Well, there's this loophole. Well, I can give him a $150,000 bonus as a Texas Ranger. I just have to get him to be a Texas Ranger. So he Rule 5'd him in the minor league Rule 5 draft, and is like, here's a bonus of $150,000, not to play baseball and not to go into the NFL draft.
That's pretty genius.
I was not aware of that.
Pretty genius. Didn't he show up, though, and like take some outfield balls and then he like
left? I don't recall that. He's around my age. I didn't play against him. I mean, he barely played any professional baseball. But I don't even think he suited out for a day for the Texas Rangers. It was just about Tom Hicks as a UT alum making sure that Ricky Williams would stay at UT.
And then lastly, this story, Kevin, I know you were concerned about this. The Murray Police Department arrested a man named Jonathan Mason. I don't know where Murray is, Kevin. Don't ask me.
Okay.
On Saturday, reportedly, he was riding a mule while intoxicated. And so they had to...
My question was going to be, is that against the law? But I guess that's why he got arrested.
There is a fantastic chase video out there, by the way, if you haven't
on
seen it
yet. On the mule?
Of the guy riding the mule and the police trying to stop him. And he's just riding...
Awesome.
Here's the video. He's riding through cones. And
oh, man, that guy's going pretty fast, actually.
And that is... Like, that's crazy that that guy got pulled over riding a mule. Kevin, it's also the third time now that this man has been pulled over for riding a mule while intoxicated.
Do you need, like, but what do you do? You're not going to suspend his mule riding license, are you? That's not a thing, is it?
I don't know if it is.
So, I don't know. That is super weird.
He rode the mule to the business where he started drinking and reportedly refused to stop when the officer ordered him to, and then he resisted when officers attempted to arrest him.
Okay. Here's what I think should happen.
Oh, no, Kevin, the mule was stabled, by the way. It was stabled.
Okay, so the mule wasn't drunk.
Right.
Oh, you mean like, I gotcha. In Chicago, my cousins told me about the bike police.
Okay.
And so the bike police were these, like, they're not really police. They're ride around on bicycles. And if you didn't adhere to the rules of the road, they would pull you over and give you this stupid ticket. And you had to write like a paper about bike safety. So I think this guy should have to write a paper about mule and driving safety.
And from Jake K on Twitter, talk about being drunk off your ass.
Because it's a jack.
I know, I get it, Mike. Thank you very much.
Good job,
much.
Jake. That's impressive.
I wonder why that mule got named Jackass.
It's in the Bible.
It is?
It says Jackass in there.
No, why did they name it that?
Why did
he get the nickname that?
Ask Adam. I guess he just called it an ass. Not a jackass.
Because it's his offspring of a female horse.
He says ass in there. I don't know. We're going to look in. I do not want that as a drop. I do not.
Do
want...
it.
Male donkeys are jacks. Females are mares. But I don't know why the ass got put in there.
You've never heard somebody go, there goes a mare ass.
Yeah. Nobody says that.
All right. You know what? I want to say it's going to get better, but, and I'm going to regret this, but it did come up in the world of sports. Coming up next, we will go next up and scout the Carolina Panthers, but also ask the important questions of the day. Where exactly would you get a gallon of poo? What? That has something to do with sports, I promise you. Next on The Fan.
Young has time, and he can run, throws for the end zone.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's scout them Carolina Panthers, and they're still not good, but they are better than they have been, and they are favorites over the Dallas Cowboys. First time they've been favorites in a game since December 18th, 2022, although they did lose that game to the Steelers.
Oh.
Well, tell me if I'm wrong or not, but they must have tremendous depth at the wide receiver position, if they were able to give us Mingo. And, I mean, look what he's done so far.
He hadn't done anything with the Panthers, Mike, up to that
point.
But
that's what I'm saying. He couldn't. Look at all the receivers they have. Look at how open that...
They have Adam Thielen, who's still around. And
he had a touchdown.
Xavier Legette.
Yeah, man, that guy, he almost has hands. Maybe he does have hands. He just doesn't have fingers. Like, that's why he can't catch the ball.
It's just paws.
Because if you have palms, you're probably not going to catch many things. The fingers are really important to catching balls.
Heard that.
And so you got Mingo now, and I think he's caught two passes for the Cowboys.
Which we warned everybody, he had caught one whole pass for 1 yard, despite, like, I don't know, 6 or 8 targets in his previous 4 or 5 games with Carolina. So that's that fourth round pick
now.
That's going to be high. And then the other fourth round pick that he gave up the year before for Trey Lance, which you could use for starting running back. And
they got a starting running back.
Trey Lance.
Oh, not us. Yeah.
Is starting this weekend, I'm assuming.
No.
What?
And that's the thing. I think if the Cowboys were to lose this week, I would assume you would see, because the Cowboys have, what, a 1% chance of getting into the playoffs right now. And it's just basically just a long, slow bleed at this point. You would assume you would get Trey Lance. And for what reason? To excite the fan base? Because, I mean, when you're not really playing for anything else, what are you putting out there? So,
and to see if he's going to be your backup quarterback going forward. I know people have all these weird ideals about, like, oh, then we wouldn't need Dak. Well, too bad. Like, whether you like it or not, that deal is signed. It's locked in. You can't get out of it for at least 2 years.
Yeah, no, it would be really nice. I'm dead serious about this. Last 4 games of the year, Trey Lance goes in, looks really good, and you're like, that's our backup quarterback. We appreciate your efforts, Cooper Rush, over this time. If something happens to Dak, which seems like it's more likely, Bobby was going through it this morning, and I think the last 5 years he's been injured every year except for one. So it's more likely Dak's going to get injured, but we haven't seen anything from Trey Lance from the moments that we were out there in Oxnard to the preseason games to even the stuff that he's done this year that says that he's ready.
Look, do you think when the 49ers and Cowboys meet on the field hours before the game and, like, this game Sunday, that the general manager of the other team has to, like, apologize and say, I had to ask for a fourth round, and I was just so shocked you took it. And I know you guys are stuck with this guy. You can release him. It was only a fourth round pick.
I mean, I don't think so. I think they probably still, even after the fact, don't you think people still try to spin, like, hey, what a great deal you got? Even though it's over and you can be like, ha ha, stupid. But, like, it doesn't feel like people
you
really
don't say ha ha stupid, Kevin, because you want them to trade with you next time.
Oh, okay.
You don't go, ha ha, gotcha, sucker.
Deuce Vaughn has more receptions than Mingo does. Deuce Vaughn. How many times have you seen Deuce Vaughn on the football field this year?
The same amount of times I've seen Mingo.
Yeah.
Deuce Vaughn, 3 catches for 18 yards.
That is very,
Jonathan
very sad.
Mingo,
now,
2 catches for 10.
There are a couple of things that the Panthers have really been excelling at. They've been excelling at getting to the quarterback.
Okay.
They've had four sacks apiece in their last two games. And in their last four games, they have 15 sacks. So you're averaging almost four sacks per game. And so they have done a really good job at getting to the quarterback, which could be offset by the fact that, and I know Troy Aikman talked about this a lot the other night, Cooper Rush is getting rid of the ball very quickly, which in theory is good in terms of not getting pressured, not taking sacks, but it's also stifled this team's ability to have any sort of a long offensive play through the air.
Yeah, no, the ability to extend plays does not really exist with him at all. And so, yeah, if there's going to be pressure and the offensive line's leaky, then that's definitely going to be a factor on Sunday.
Is there any chance, like the first play of the game, I know this won't happen.
You want him to go deep?
Yeah. Just who's the fastest guy on this team?
Kamonte Turpin.
Who's the guy that's over 5'6" that can run close to his speed?
Jalen Tolbert.
All right, Jalen Tolbert.
Gosh.
Let's send him just fly route and wing it just to maybe, I don't even think this will do much, but maybe this will do a little bit for the Carolina defensive coordinator to go, oh, they might be opening it up this game just to see what happens. Like, why would you play your safeties any deeper than 12 yards off the ball?
I don't know if he can throw
Which is how far it felt like our cornerbacks played in that last game. Yeah. They're like, hey, you're at the four. I'm going to play 8 yards back.
I just don't know if Rush, the confidence isn't there to do it because he hasn't done it. Like you saw him last week. He just refused to throw it deep. And I was like, can he not do it anymore? We've seen a couple of throws. It's just, I wonder if it's very Daniel Jones like, where it's just so inaccurate that he's like, I can't push it that far downfield anymore, guys. And that's a bad factor if you're going to have to rely on him for
that. I agree. Josie Jewell has started to make some things happen.
Good player.
For the Panthers, he had 10 tackles this past week. And in his last three games, he has 3.5 sacks, which is the most he's ever had in a three-game span in his career. So when we talk about the Panthers' ability to get pressure, it's not necessarily from all the spots that you would only think of. Josie Jewell has stepped up into that void as well. So I do think this will be an interesting challenge for, you used the term earlier, I thought it was perfect, a patchwork offensive line, and they're going to have another challenge in this game.
I mean, that's interesting. Yeah, you point out Josie Jewell's sack numbers have never been that good.
No.
Yet this year, the way that they're using him, I thought Josie Jewell was a great player coming out of the draft in 2018. I was like, I'm really excited about this guy. And he was good for the Broncos for a while.
And I know we kind of touched on this. It's been a tough run for ACLs of former Texas players because Jonathan Brooks. He tore his ACL again, and now in his stead, Hubbard went past 1,000 yards rushing on the season. He's got 1,011, but another ACL tear for Jonathan Brooks, who is somebody that, leading into that draft, we talked about a whole lot and Cowboys fans were excited about.
Yeah, Hubbard has been an interesting, because they've given him the opportunities. They early in the season, they were afraid, it felt like, of not passing the ball because they were so far behind, much like the Cowboys early this season. And then they were like, you know what? We just got to, Canales said, we got to run our offense the way it's supposed to be run. We got to show what Carolina football needs to be. And so running the way they have with Hubbard's been more effective for them.
By the way, he had a career high 10 missed tackles in the positive sense. I know normally when we've talked about with the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, that's really good.
That's negative. But he had a career high in that. It's the most the Panthers back has had in 3 years since going back. Obviously, they had Christian McCaffrey. One more player I want to throw it over to. We talked about they haven't put up a lot of eye-popping pass statistics. Adam Thielen. Since he came back, Adam Thielen has caught 20 of his 25 targets for 258 yards. So they have been very efficient when funneling the ball into Adam Thielen. 80% of the time he's been targeted, he's caught it in the last three games since he's come back.
He was working his tail off at the end of that Philadelphia Eagles game. I don't know if you guys got to see the end of that, but he was like, he ran a route, had a big play, and was like, I'll stay in, and then ran another route and caught the ball and got out of bounds. And it was like, I think I'm going to die because I can't catch my breath.
Yeah.
And then they threw the perfect pass to Hans Magoo, and
he couldn't catch the pass. So Thielen couldn't catch his breath. The other one couldn't catch a pass, and it was problematic across the board. Couple of quick updates for you. Al Michaels said he is planning on being back next year in the broadcast booth. And are you guys surprised that The Athletic did their survey of NBA league executives? And when it comes to ranking the Mavericks front office, they're ranked 15th. I would have thought, I'm not saying you have to skyrocket them to the top. I admit.
The Mavericks?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised they are that low.
I don't know why.
I wonder how much the separation of Mark Cuban to Edelman changes that. I don't know what, like, why, because it seems like it's all Nico there and Finley.
Yeah.
And what those two guys have done. But I wonder how much that changes, because they don't know exactly what Adelson is. Like, they don't know exactly how she's going to manage this thing, or how that group is going to manage it.
Do people factor in? I know it's weird around here because we obviously hear from the Cowboys owner and GM all the time. But do people usually factor in owners when they're thinking about, like, how proficient your front office is?
I don't know. Again, because like you said, it's always our owners are very upfront and out there. With the Rangers, we do, and Ray Davis doesn't talk much because the big factor is, will he open the wallet?
Yeah.
So I wonder if that, like, opening up the checkbook is a big factor there.
I think it is in baseball because there's only luxury tax. There's not a salary cap. Like the NBA, I know you can go over by keeping your own players and stuff like that, but I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think owners are in this too much. I think this is a shot at Nico's lack of experience, but he has done a tremendous job.
Great.
Who would you put at the top of that list then?
Boston.
Probably Miami's going to be up there a lot of times. Right. I don't know if they'll be number one, but okay.
Boston is
Oak
second.
City's probably way
Miami
up there.
Is third. Oklahoma City is number one by a pretty wide margin.
Mike, the Rangers have a reliever. We have signed
Kirby.
A reliever.
Say Kirby.
He's not going to say Kirby.
Say Kirby.
Right-handed pitcher.
He's right-handed.
Jacob Webb, who was with the Baltimore Orioles last year, had a 3.02 ERA, 58 strikeouts, and a 1.18 whip. So we got a right-handed reliever. Does that replace Robertson, maybe?
I don't know. To look up his
60 games.
If he goes a lot at the end of the game.
Yeah, 56 innings pitched for them. So that's I don't know exactly what the deal is, but 1 year contract for Jacob Webb, who was with the Orioles, and you got a pitcher that you need in that area.
Now, that's all fine and well, Corey. We can dive more into that at another point. But I want to talk about Juan Soto, because I've been meaning to talk about this all week for some reason. A Twitter account by the handle of Philly Sports INQ tweeted out on December 8th, if Juan Soto goes to the Mets, which is always a bad way to start it.
He did.
Yes, he did. This person said they would post a video of them eating a gallon of human S.
Why?
That is a great question. That now has 30.
That's going to kill you.
Okay.
That could kill you.
I think you're probably right.
I think so too.
I think.
It now has 30,000 likes, and he followed up 17 hours ago.
Is this a famous person?
No, he has like 1,000 followers.
He's trying to get famous.
Yeah, well.
He's going to die.
He followed up 17 hours ago. Does anyone know how to acquire about a gallon of, then he said, human feces?
Yeah, just
asking for a friend.
Go into a gallon bucket for a few days and see how that, I don't know exactly how many days.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how that'll work either.
Don't do it, dude. Just take your licks and say, I'm a moron. I shouldn't have tweeted this.
Yeah.
I'm stupid.
But instead, he seems to embrace it. It was already pinned to the top of his page, and he hasn't unpinned it and, like, taken it away and be like, hey, hopefully people will forget about that. But, yeah, this is what he said. But, Corey, you asked the most important question. But why?
But why?
If the flip side was, but if he doesn't, you all have to send me $1 billion.
Yeah.
Then I would be like,
well, it's only $1,000. I'm not eating that for $1,000.
Then I would be like, at least understand your motive.
Yeah.
This motive, I don't understand at all. And as Mike said, yes, Juan Soto did in fact go to the Mets. And he said, not only will he do it, he'll post a video of it.
Yeah. According to Columbia University.
Oh, no.
feces can contain a variety of disease-causing bacteria, viruses, and parasitic worms. It doesn't mean that eating feces is necessarily poisonous, but it can make someone sick. Shigella, Vibrio, Salmonella, and E. coli are four bacteria commonly present.
That is so gross.
In the doo-doo.
I don't think that person is really going to do it. I guess I kind of hope they
can't. I don't think
they
can.
Don't.
Can you just eat chocolate mousse and everybody's like, oh, it looks real? Like, I feel like you can pull this off.
Caddyshack?
Yeah. I feel like you can pull this off and make it look
just a whole bunch of Snicker bars.
It's a baby Ruth.
I
don't know, but this person is continuing to double down.
I mean, I'd rather him try this, and he's going to get sick doing this. Eat a gallon's worth of Snicker bar.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
And those are great, by the way. If you're thinking I'm comparing Snickers that, really no, good, Snickers yeah. are awesome. But I'm just saying, like, let's not do the other. First of all, I don't think it's capable from a human being. And
dude,
I don't want to see if it is or not.
Just stepping in it with a shoe on, like when it's a dog's, it makes me feel gross.
And I continue to go back to, and you, if you would have gained, if you would have won, you would have gained nothing.
From the 940, I deliver to wastewater treatment plants. I can get them 10 gallons. So we got people. If he needs some help with this.
But that's such a random connection to have.
Yeah, we did it.
I got a guy.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's go out to Arlington and talk with a G-Bag Nation. They'll be out there for the Texas Rangers Toy Drive. Remember, if you bring a toy for children worth $15 or more, you can get a ticket for a select Texas Rangers home game. One ticket per person. Go ahead and make that happen. Fans, go see the G-Bag Nation. Help out the kids. We'll talk with them next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan, where the Rangers are making moves. And right now, let's turn our attention, courtesy of D&M Leasing, to the fellas who are at the Texas Rangers Toy Drive. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Epic, Heggie. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I love to see all the moving and the shaking that the Rangers have been doing. I know, I'm pretty sure the Eovaldi news broke on y'all's show. And
yeah,
then,
in the last couple minutes.
I love it. And then last night, they make the trade for Berger, and just within the last 20 minutes or so, they signed Jacob Webb to start adding to the bullpen. Are you surprised, impressed, whatever, at how it feels kind of aggressive the Rangers have been?
I am impressed. You know, I figured this is kind of what they wanted to do with, you know, giving up prospects for players that are very affordable, either with lower contracts or with the other team picking up a big portion of the salary. And, you know, I think this has got to, you know, fill you with confidence and optimism that, you know, they're going to have another good year. You got a guy in Berger who can play third base if Young gets hurt. He can DH if you keep low. I just think it's, once again, terrific work by this front office.
What do you think the plan is for Lowe?
I think he's going to stay. I think this is a DH alone move, and you'll still see plenty of Lowe.
Oh, are we not thinking he's going to be an infielder?
Who's that?
Berger?
I think
Berger.
He'll be mostly
a
DH.
He's more of a DH. He can play first, like I said earlier. This gives you depth. I think, Broadus, you would think about this in an NFL draft. Well, here's the deal. Nate Lowe has one more year at first base. You're not going to find better numbers than he gives you at first base for $9 million. Literally impossible on the marketplace. But if we're going to lose Nate Lowe after this year is over, then we have this backup. Jake Berger for the next 3 years can play there. Here's the other thing, too, is what if he's just a DH? That's okay. Corey Seager, probably 2 years from now, is going to need to move to first base or to DH. So this gives you a lot of, like, for Chris Young, now he's like, for him, I think he thinks DH and first base for the next 3 to 4 years, I don't have to worry too much about.
Kind of the question keeps popping up on Josh Smith.
Hey,
and
what about?
And he was that.
What about him?
They
feel
like
trying to trade him.
Yeah, everybody's like, "Well, Berger means that Josh Smith isn't going to play anymore." And Josh Smith is your utility infielder, right? Yeah. Like that's the
I need 70 starts.
Yeah,
from third base and shortstop. The injury history of Josh Young and Seager,
probably at least.
I'm giving a nice number. They both start 125 games. That gives me 37 games at third and 37 games at short. I need a dude who's going to play almost half the season as a starting player at third and short. Now, Berger can go over to third some. I'm going to tell you something. I remember calling the game in Miami, and I know this game isn't played like this anymore. I was like, I know back when I played, because we did it to Miguel Cabrera when he got fat at third base and then moved to first base with the Tigers. When he was fat at third base with the Marlins, one of the greatest hitters of all time, he got furious with our manager, Manny Acta, because they're from, I think, the same town in Dominican or Venezuela or whatever. And we kept bunting on him for hits. And he was like, we're showing him up because he can't move anymore. He was a thinner guy when he came to the big leagues. If you bunted on Berger and you laid down nice bunts, you would get a hit almost every time. That's not how the game is played anymore. He's not a fast, quick twitch guy at all at third base. If it's hit to him, he will catch it. If he has to move a lot, you have a good chance of being on first base. He's more of a DH slash first baseman, but can play third if you need him to.
So is Dave Raymond being facetious when he said on Twitter that Berger was sneaky fast?
I'll tell you what. I will say yes in this. If you look at his sprint speed on Baseball Savant, it's a great page to go to. It's almost like they give you all these grades on all these little things they do. His sprint speed is a hair above average for Major League standard. His range is in the bottom 8% of Major League Baseball. So the two things are true. Does he run fast when he's running the bases and you're running more straight lines for 90 feet or whatever? It's, for a dude who's 6'2 and 230, surprisingly fast for his size. But if you now look at the way Baseball Savant grades out his range at third base or first base, it is very low.
Now, it's a no-brainer new concession item, though, right? Like at the ballpark, we're going to have like a Hurtado, Jake Berger or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like it.
Yeah,
but
need to start tomorrow.
Maybe Jake's can sponsor it.
Ooh, that's a very good idea.
Big Whataburger fan.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point by Corey. New special
Jake Berger.
Yeah. New specialty item, the Jake Berger.
Hey, does it sound like we're at a hockey game, guys?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And they're firing off shots in the background.
On the boards.
Are they taking
some kind of a stage, or they're putting down a stage?
We're going to graduate in the infield
today.
It's
like a giant dance floor going over
the
outfield.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to walk across the stage.
What do you guys think of the biggest obvious sports story of the day is finally Ohio Representative Josh Williams introduced a bill that would make it a felony to plant a flag at Ohio State's field.
A felony.
Aren't you glad that we have laws?
Glad, Josh.
Politicians who are doing the things that the people demand.
Hey, as an Ohio State grad, Josh is probably excited about that, trying to get that bill through. You know, so it doesn't have to happen again on his watch.
Everybody hope it's just political grandstanding, and it's brilliant if it is.
Yeah.
People like this kind of stuff.
Hate this. You got so many other things you need to accomplish.
I know, but how many times? There's a reason politicians are like, the kids are the future. Well, yeah, no S. That's how time works. Mm-hmm. But like, what specifically do you mean? And they'd be like, oh, I heard so-and-so talk about how the kids are the future. And like, I kind of want to punch those people in the face and be like, and?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that should be on your gravestone. When I'm hoping you don't die anytime soon.
Thanks,
but maybe
Mike.
40-something years from now, Kevin Hagelin's quotes.
I'd like to start my campaign right now for host of the year, and I just can't believe Heggie doesn't care about the kids. You know,
Dawson, I do feel like isn't there a three-pronged approach? There's a three-pronged approach, and the last prong is what about the kids?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Have you guys ever driven past on the highway and seen the state representatives' offices, their signs?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Tam Parker, he's officing over here or whatever, you know? You ever thought about stopping by and seeing if they're really over there?
What's he up to today?
A little bit.
Are you over here trying to do the plant the flag thing this week? What are you got working on? Are you working on things that might mean something to my area? I need to go by and see somebody. Matt Shaheen over there. I drive by his sign every day on the way to the Star.
I love that.
Brian brought us here. What are you working on today?
What are we doing?
Looks like a big bag of nothing. Yeah.
I would love that. And if I ever got in a political debate and somebody was like, the kids are the future, and they kicked it back to me, I'd be like, I would like to go ahead and cede the remainder of my time and have them explain why the kids are the future. Because that's a dumb thing to say.
I yield the balance of my time to the idiot gentleman from
exactly.
Can't believe you don't care about the kids.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking, Heggie. We are, of course, at the Globe, and the toy drive is underway. Bring a toy, get a ticket to a 2025 Rangers game. I think the chairman of this deal, John Gray, is going to join us at 3:40.
Love it.
Reaction to all the top stories of the day here at 2 o'clock.
All right. I love it. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation or go see them at the toy drive. Bring a toy, at least $15. Get a Rangers ticket. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say Jonathan Mingo season, Kevin.
When is that going to happen?